Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Bow down your heads as we pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your purpose and your plans for us tonight. I know you're going to speak to each and every one of us tonight. I pray, our God, again, every night and every time we meet, is that you'll not allow us, even if we want to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for the presence of your Spirit and the power of your Word that has affected our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, Amen. Wow, you may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Are you glad you're around tonight? Yes. You know, as a Christian, and more so a Christian and part of Lighthouse Chapel International, whenever there is a meeting, you must be around. Amen. Yeah. Otherwise, you are not part of what you think you are part of. Your reasons are not important. Did you hear what I said? Your reasons for not coming to church on Tuesdays from wherever you are and Thursdays are not important at all. It's a must that whenever the church or the group that you are part of is meeting, Destiny, you must be inside. There cannot be a meeting where you are absent. If you are absent, then it tells something about your commitment to the group that you say you are part of. Remember, our lives are like letters. So whatever you do is whatever you are trying to tell us. So when we meet like this on Tuesday, all of us from wherever we are, we come together. You must be excited to come. You must be excited to come to hear me preach right here. You must be happy. In fact, when Tuesday comes, you must be looking forward to the evening service. It's something you must look forward to. What do you look forward to in your life? Apart from going to jump at Kaicho Falls. I can't believe you make a call. You book your flight days ahead of when you kill yourself. Yeah, people look forward to jumping off Kaicho Falls. And so you must also look forward to coming to church. How many understand what I'm trying to introduce to you? Yeah. And you must understand, my banner is not yet ready, but you must understand that when you come here, the plan of God for you is that you become a preacher. Whether you are a boy or girl, you become a preacher. Yeah, that's why you are here. If you came here for any other thing, it is canceled in the name of Jesus. You came here to be made into fisher or fishers of men. If you don't become a preacher, it means you have failed. I said, if you don't become a preacher, it means you have failed.
You're smiling?
Yeah, if you don't become a preacher, you have failed. It is different. If you go to Assembly of God Church, it is different. If you go to Salvation Army, it's different. If you go to St. Pius the 10th or the 11th, it's different. If you go to Wesleyan Church, it's different. If you go to the Nazarene Church, it's different. If you go to Holy Ghost Chapel International, it is different. But when you come to Lighthouse Chapel International, it is also different because you are supposed to become a preacher right here. Right here, I tell you. Yeah. If you don't become, you
turn to the person sitting next to you, if you don't become a preacher, it means you have failed God. Yeah. Don't ask it. So, should everybody be a pastor? Why not? If it's a good thing, why shouldn't everybody become a pastor? Because the Bible says it's a good thing. Yeah. So you must plan to be a preacher. You must plan, you must allow yourself for God through the church to transform you into a preacher. Right? So don't let any other thing distract you. If you come to the church, don't let some girl who doesn't bath, armpit smelling and all kind of things. Don't let nobody distract you. Yeah. Some boy who is home doesn't do nothing. Let nobody like that distract you. Even if you see Prince Charles in the church, don't let Prince Charles distract you. You came here to be made into a preacher. I said you came here to be made into a preacher. And you will become a preacher. I declare you will become a preacher in the name of Jesus. Whether you like it or not. Because if you don't become a preacher, you will die fast. You will die early. You see, you may not understand it, but when you look at the people of Israel, every country worship idols. When they went to worship idols, they had problems. When they decided, you know what, do the things that their neighbors or the neighboring countries were doing, then God said, evex. Because they are different from the people from other places. It's the same thing with you. Lighthouse and this church you are part of, our mandate and our purpose and our mission and our vision is different. That's what God has given to us. So when you come here and then you try not to become what God wants people who come here to become, you are spoiling the purpose and you must be removed. Any bad apple must be taken out. So when I say so you die, don't think I'm joking. Yeah. Some of you have serious accidents and you should remember what I'm telling you tonight. Yeah. Because sometimes we don't connect. We don't connect the incident to a disobedient or something we have not done for God. We are not able to connect and therefore we don't learn from it. Yeah. If you're afraid, I want you to be afraid also. Because it's better to be afraid than to refuse to do anything for God. Yeah. You can say I'm trying to scare you. It's good scaring. Yeah, it's good scaring. Did you read in the newspapers that the guy who was trying to shoot the bus driver, he followed him up to the hospital? Did you read it? The guy sat in next to a bus driver and then just pulled a gun and then pa! The bus driver, you know, did a little shaking and then the thing, you know, locked in his jaw. He got out of the bus, he ran. He's gone to the hospital. He's at the hospital receiving treatment. The guy has gone to the hospital as a visitor to go and finish the job he started. And then, you see, the conductor was around, so he was able to identify him and report. And that's how they arrested the guy. You see, evil has started to unleash itself in a very wild way in our country. I don't know why, but it can affect me. You should not become a disobedient so that you don't become part of these things. Oh, I didn't read a story, but the front page of the newspaper today also, somebody cut a woman's throat and threw her out of the car or something. Hey. Yeah, she was somewhere, a taxi, Georgetown as a dispatcher or something. Yeah. If you don't do what God wants you to do, and many of you young people, you don't have any bright future anyway. I can give you 5 years. We will see what you will become. You won't become anything. Yeah. Cry. Because you got head space for maths. You got head space for English. Social studies, you get 4. Office administration, you get 8. When it comes to integrated science, it's 24. I mean, there's no head space.
English B. I mean, you didn't even write. Because when you hear the Shakespeare, Macbeth, and all that, you neighbor, what will you become? Yeah. And Jesus said, I can make something out of you. You say no. Yeah. So those who have listened to what we have been preaching and talking about, they are changing, they are becoming something else. You see, my little boy Castello was asking me how my birthday went. I said, I had 2 days birthday. He said, hey, why, was one for my spirit and one for my flesh? I said, yes. I said, one was for my spirit. I said, yes. So he said, he really wants to be like me. I said, is it because of the party you want to be like me, or you really want to be like me? Now, you see, it's like now they have something they can... They want to be something that they identify that it is nice and is good that they want to become. Well, what do you want to become? Come street, you go. Yeah. Come street. Boys' school, girls' school. Mazaruni. Yeah. If you don't take care, you not even live long, they'll kill you. Because me, I believe that what is going on, we must face it with wild firepower. Oh. It's an evil that we have to release police and army on the streets. 6 o'clock, everybody should be sleeping. And let's see who is a man in this town. They will see. If you're a man, they will take you out. Otherwise, we can't, you see, you, when it comes to war, as a good general, the science of leadership, you must fight extremes with extremes. Yeah, fire with fire. Yeah, you can't be soft and this and that. Green Georgetown, green city, and clean and green. And then people are killing people. You say green and clean. Yeah, we don't like green and clean when they are killing us. Red and green. Are you with me? So be careful. You will not hear what I'm saying anywhere. So don't take it for granted. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. I'm preaching already. Because they said I'm an astounding preacher. So I'm trying to preach. I want the amplified version. Can you give me the amplified version of the Bible? Do you have that? Do I have to pay you for that? I have it here, so if you don't have it, I will read to the people. The amplified version of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. The Bible talks about, in fact, let's go a bit, let's go to like verse 5. Let me read from verse 5 tonight. Okay, 7. Then, as these men went their way, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. You see, before that, John the Baptist sent men to go and ask Jesus, whether he's really the Messiah, because he was in jail and he didn't see no miracle happening. So he wondered whether for once the person he baptized was somebody else that, he was expecting. So when they went to him, then, he told them about certain things that, are you the Messiah? Then he asked them to go and tell John what they are seeing. The blind is sees and the lame are walking and, things are happening. And then so he said that. And as the men left, then Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. And then they said, what did you go out in the wilderness or in the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Hey. What did you go out to see then? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft clothing, they are in houses of kings. What we are into, we are not in a palace. So
So when you came, you saw the pastor, you came to the church tonight, you came to what? To receive a blessing? Those who go to receive blessing, they don't come to Lighthouse. Lighthouse is not like that. It said there's those who wear soft raiment. It said they're in King's Palace. They don't engage themselves in what we are doing. It said, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And one out of the common, more eminent, more remarkable, and superior to a prophet. He said, this is the one of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who shall make ready your way before you. You see, the advantage in, go back, Rebecca, the advantage in using the Amplified Bible is that when there's a quotation from the Old Testament, it tells you at the end of the verse. Right? So he says, "Where this is the one of whom it is written." So what is written? What is written is that, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who shall make ready your way before you. Where is it? It's in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. So all the quotations that came from the Old Testament, in the New Testament, if you read the Amplified Bible, they are all there. So you can go there and see it for yourself. Do you understand what is happening? So that's one of the advantages of the Amplified Bible, apart from the fact that it amplifies the verses. It makes it bigger. It magnifies them. Okay? So verse 11 says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. You should look at this very, very carefully. The person that Jesus says is greater or is greatest among all humanity. Anybody, you and I came from a woman. Even if you're a woman, you came from a woman. The Bible says none of us, we may be great or we may be greater. But there's only one who is greatest. And Jesus said, that person is John the Baptist. But he was the guy who was not wearing soft clothes. He was the one who really didn't have a house. He was the one who really, his food was locust. An insect. He was eating insects. Yeah, wild honey was he eating. He was somebody who was living in the desert. I mean, when it's nighttime, he just lies down under a tree and he sleeps. And the Bible says that this guy, this gentleman, this preacher, this prophet is the greatest of all human beings. So the way God sees greatness is not the way we see greatness. Because our greatness is in a big house, a fancy car, some money, some nice clothing, looking so nice and you looking good. That is our mentality of greatness. But this guy who didn't have anything at all was eating insects. Jesus said is the greatest among all human beings. So those of you who are fixated, your mind and your heart is fixated on earthly things. You are the lowest in the kingdom of God. The things that we are crying for, we are looking for, we are fasting for, we are praying for, that does not add any greatness to us. Not an iota of greatness. Yet, who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And violent men seized the kingdom by force. As a prize, they seized the kingdom, you see, as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Amplified Bible. Clap for the Amplified Bible. Ah. So some of you don't have to use the Amplified. You have to use the New Living Translation. It's simpler. The Amplified says it is the things that we seize in the kingdom is a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought. A share. The little nice thing, honey, that you eat in the kingdom of God, it is sought. It is, you see, we search for it with the most ardent zeal, passion. Hey, it does not just fall on from a tree like ripe cherries. The most ardent zeal and intense exertion. many of us, if not most of us, have not gone through this as yet. And that's why your life has not changed. Because you want to lay hold on the precious prize without exercising intense exertion, without having the most ardent zeal. You want to touch something that is in the kingdom of God when you don't do any work, when you are lazy, when you don't even know how. When Elisha told Elijah that he wants a double portion of his spirit, he told him that you have asked for a very difficult thing. Because anything in the kingdom of heaven, before you can have access to it, you need to shake the kingdom with violence and force. So this is your life that you don't even pray. This is your life, your Christian life, that you don't even pray. You wake up in the morning, all you know is your stomach. Once your belly full, you are right. And then Sunday you come to church like you is a Christian. Nothing, you cannot get anything in the kingdom. You'll be a disappointed Christian. You know, disappointed European? You'll be a disappointed Christian. You'll be a devil whip in the kingdom of God. Yeah. No, it will not come automatically. Like, again, Castillo was telling me, he said, he likes the school. The only thing is waking up at 4 o'clock. I said, you mother spoil you, that's why. No, you cannot become a pastor if you can't wake up at 4 a.m. So you should wake up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock and become a pastor. What kind of pastor will you be? Lazy pastor. You sleep. You dribble. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you're waking up. And that's how many of us are. That's the time you go to school. 9 o'clock to go to school, you even go late. Yeah. My youngest daughter was asking me, so is there a day that I will not let them go to school? I said, not as long as I'm alive. You go to school. Yeah. Because when I go to heaven, you must have things to remember about me. Things that when you take up, say, hey, my father, you can't stay home one day. It's a nice memory. No, you can't. Yeah. He passed it on. He said, you know what my father did to me? You go to school. That's how she's going to also teach her children. Yeah. Must have things. So you can't be a pastor. You have to wake up at 4 a.m. If you don't wake up at 4 a.m., you get late, you get punished. Yeah. You want, Clive, you want to become a pastor in the kingdom, but you don't want to work hard? Who becomes a pastor in the kingdom of God without working hard? There's nothing in the kingdom of heaven. Happiness in your life, you must force for that. You need health and strength. So I've taught you a few things that we must force about, isn't it? What's number one? Your stand or your position, isn't it? Hey. You see, when the prodigal son went away and he realized that he has been a fool, he said, you know what? At least, even if I don't get my place, I want to be back where I don't have to do so much. At least, let me find myself in there under the protective covering of my father. And he forced. Hey! I don't know how long he had to walk. No money, nothing. Destitute, his clothes torn. As he was coming, I'm sure Satan was also talking to him like Satan talks to all of us. And he said, you know what? I will go back. I'll go back and fit in, not even as a son, but as a servant. I don't care. I want to go back. That is where I want to be. Force. There's nothing. If he doesn't force and find his way into the house, and he will not get anything from the father's house. It will not just happen to you. Your prosperity will not just happen. Your miracle will just not happen. your needs will just not happen. Because we are in a world where we are not liked. We are living a life in this place where people don't want us. I mean, you look at you. Our number one enemy is the devil. And then you are living in a country where there's discrimination and racial segregation. Number two. So, Satan is not a nice person anyway. Because when he gets you, he will kill you, he will destroy your life. That's the type of person who is looking for you. The Bible says he's walking around like a lion, looking for you. Now, apart from all of this, you have people who say they don't want you to get a job. They don't want you to live in a particular area. They don't want you to get money. They want you to live in garbage. So, it's double trouble. Now, why would you not arise? Why will you not shake yourself? Why will you not, you know, begin to have ardent zeal about the things that concerns you? If you don't do that, then it's up to you. Pastor David from New Amsterdam was telling me, he said, he likes to play. He was telling me something. He said that, he said he really respects me. I said, why? He said, church work is not easy. Because if you don't start a church, you will never respect some of us. You come and sit down and just do your thing. And they even wonder why we are preaching so hard. Why are we talking about? Why? But when you start a church, then the people say they are coming and they don't come. If you ask Sister Shabon, she will tell you. People think church work is like a microwave. You put a cold meal inside, you press 2 minutes, and then after 2 minutes, hot. Alana, hot meal, and then you take it out of the microwave, and then you begin to eat. It's not like that. So to see that on a Tuesday evening, how many have you counted, Calvin? Who's counting? Hitler. Huh? 167 on a weekday evening of people. When somebody can't even get 10, then you must see the difference in spiritual authority. Not physical, spiritual authority. And spiritual authority, Andreska, is not something APNU can give you. God is the one who gives you. Tamika, it's God who gives you spiritual authority. And that spiritual authority makes you able to gather people like a hen has chicks around her. Sweetie, what's the name again?
Yolanda.
Yolanda. Can you start a church tomorrow, please? Where you live?
Lane Avenue.
Lane Avenue. Let's start a church in your house in Lane Avenue. Sunday morning, let's put a pulpit and a banner, everything, and let's start a church right there. A lot of people in Lane Avenue, but let's see how many of them want to come to your house for church. But they will ask themselves, she turned a sister? They will question your sisterhood. Yeah. And once they cannot point to when you became a sister, then they'll say, oh, it must be money she's looking for. And that information will go all around Lane Avenue. Anytime you talk to somebody, they say they will come. But they know it. They say, when you invite them to come to church, they say to themselves, you think I stupid? You want people money? But then they will tell you, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. But then they won't come. Because they won't tell you the truth about you. Yeah. You chase. Then if you don't take care, then you begin to tell people from other places to come and visit your church. Then you begin to send invitation letters to your doing first anniversary. And that Pastor Collins should come with his members to your first anniversary. Because if he doesn't come, there won't be anybody in your anniversary. Yeah. No, let's see it. Let's see it. You must grow up, okay, and begin to see the right parameters of greatness. Like Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. Go to any church on a weekday evening and mark it. Mark. If you can't get this in that church, then you must see me in a certain way. Yeah. You must see me in a certain way. You can ask all those preachers I have. I have a lot of preachers. Even 10, they can't have 10. Yeah, even 10 children, 11-year-old, 10 of them, they can have. Yeah. Because it just does not happen. You have to be taught. I've been doing this work since 1995. Many of you were not born. I got saved in 1989. Many of you were not born. So I've been at this thing for about 20 years. So, Sunday after Sunday, preaching after preaching, listening to preaching after listening to preaching, hey, receiving instruction after receiving of instruction, 20 years. This is even what I can produce. I wish I had more than this. So the kingdom of God, ardent zeal, it's not something that, well, you can't have where. It's last year, 2 years ago, you started pastoring a church and you want everything to be working together for your good because you love God, you have been called according to his purpose. Hey. Success is a very long road. To become successful is a road that is very long. Anybody who becomes successful in a short time is not real success. Yeah. Because if you're in the process of getting rich or becoming successful, you must adapt and be transformed into somebody who can really handle the success when you finally receive it. Yeah. So, what I want to give you tonight before we close is that you must also be forceful about your miracle or breakthrough. You gotta go to check up. Who speaks in tongues? Who has the gift of interpretation of tongues? Now, contrary to what people say about your miracle and your breakthrough, it does not come easy, Sister Coletta. It does not come easy. If miracles and breakthroughs come very easy, why are all your problems not solved, Anita? Eh? Why are all your problems not solved? Why is Sweetie Darling not coming to church with you? I'm sure you like him to sit next to you. That as I'm preaching and the preaching is now, you put your head on his shoulder like that. Say, preach, Pastor. Preach, Pastor. The people like that. I was preaching in the church on Sunday, and there was this couple, young couple. As I was preaching, I'm serious. I'm preaching. I'm sweating. The lady's head was on the guy's shoulder like that. I said, "Wow, this is a gift land movie hall or something." Yeah. The head was comfortably on the man's shoulder. Girl, I will cry on your shoulder. The church, inside the church, you are coming to play lovey-lovey. Huh? Yeah, when you have a house, you have a bedroom and everything. You can't control yourself in a church. You got to put your head on somebody's shoulder when the pastor is preaching. Now we went to this anniversary celebration. It was very interesting. I mean, it was good that I decided to take my wife with me. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Because everybody came with their wife, and when they asked them to come and say hello, I said, praise the Lord. I want my wife to speak first. Speak.
Hallelujah.
Hey, and then the woman was... And when they finished, the men don't even know what to say. One after the other. So I told my wife, Charlie, we have to do the same thing. She said, no. They had to call her, so she couldn't run away from it. It's the ish. We came to work, we didn't come and show wives. I mean, you see, I don't know, but when you see my wife show up, then you know that's a very important place. Yeah, I mean, because most of the people guess. When they see me, and I'm because, is this your wife? I say, oh, no. Many of the pastors don't even know who my wife is. It's good. Yeah, because you have to be very mysterious. A good general is, he operates in the dark. Yeah, because people can target somebody if they know he's the person you use. Yeah. It's not easy. You must force about your miracle and your breakthrough. Will you ever drive a car? Well, you must force and drive a car. Don't come and say, God. God doesn't sell cars. There's no God car dealer place. Have you seen any one of these reconditioned car dealers with the name God the Father Almighty before? So why are you trying to link your getting of car with God? You go to Best Buy. And then you pay down, you pay all the money and you carry the car, you go. You go to race, you go to Chris, you go to trans, you go to other people. BM Salt, Akbar, Allahu Akbar, other people. Yeah, Dawood. Ramchand. Other people. That's where we buy cars. You see, Christians make things look like everything comes from heaven. Cars don't come from heaven. They come from Japan. They come from Singapore. You sit down and say you think that a vehicle will come from heaven? You see, you die and taxis will collect all your money before you die. No, you have to wake up. You see, that is why the unbelievers, they have cars. They don't serve God, but they drive cars. Because cars don't come from heaven. If cars come from heaven, then we must be the ones who drive car more. What's your name? What do you think? You look like you understand. You understand what I tell you. But now thinking about it, if cars were from heaven, then in fact our cars would have been parked till the cemetery. Because as you came late, you will have to. By Princess Street. But till my coffee, thank you. Till my coffee. And you have to walk to the church. Because it's our Heavenly Father who sells reconditioned cars. It's not like that. It's money we use to buy vehicle. And money does not just drop down. Since I came to Ghana, I've never seen Jesus Auto Spares before. People who drive cars, people who have built houses, they have applied godly wisdom and godly influence to be able to be where they are. They've allowed God to use their natural faculties, natural being, to be able to acquire things. That's why you can be a very strong prayer warrior, but you'll be very, very poor. Most prayer warriors are very poor. If you like, check, go to all the churches, find out the intercessors, and look at them. They always catch lift and all of that all the time. They ain't got no care. They can pray, say, there's no car. Yeah. After church, there's no key. Yeah. Yeah. Not even a bicycle. So in Mark chapter 7 and verse 27, like my friend who last week said that he wasn't doing anything. Was it you? That's my friend. What was he doing again? Shama, how are you? You all right? It's good to see you, man. Shama said he's not doing anything. Now, how can anything do him? When he's not doing anything. It's difficult. Yeah. Go to 26. Let's see what. Now, the woman. Can we go to 25? I think there's something in 25. Yeah, let's go to 25. 24. That's probably better. And Jesus arose and went away from there to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he went into a house and did not want anyone to know. You see, he's moving mysteriously. That he was there. But it was not possible for him to be hidden. Because he was so popular. Wherever he goes, things happen. So, people, he can't hide. He wants to hide. But you see, so Jesus was a very low-key person. Instead of some of us who, yellow suits, green suits, purple suits, yellow shoes. It's like, you want to be in the limelight. White shoes. Inherited white shoes. Uh-huh. 25, Becky. Instead, at once, a woman whose little daughter had or was under the control of an unclean spirit heard about him and came and flung herself down at his feet. This man don't want no disturbance. Now you find him. You don't use protocol. You throw down upon his foot or his feet. What does he want? The woman was a Greek. That's a Gentile. Not even a Jewish. She wasn't a Jew. You know that God would say, what's wrong with Jessica? Basma, you feed she tonight, today? Now, the woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, right? By nationality. And she kept begging him to drive the demon out of her little daughter. So this woman, who is a stranger, is not from Lighthouse, locates me. And he comes and he begs that he has a problem. That's something we normally don't do. You have to go through a security chain before you can assess certain things around. He begs, please drive the demon away from me. 27. And he said to her, first, let the children be fed. For it is not becoming or proper or right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This woman is begging you. Is it very nice to tell her that she's a dog? So the woman said, but she answered him and said, yes, Lord. Yet even the small pups under the table eat the little children's scraps of food. So Jesus is trying to tell her that you don't qualify. Galang your way. The lady said, galang me way?
Even if I is a dog, I want me miracle. Me data got to get healed. And he goes to verse 29. And he said to her, because of this saying, because of how, it's like you're supposed to be offended. You're supposed to, you know, take it very, well, so they call you Jesus and Jesus, so you feel that you are what? You are better than somebody. No, she came begging, threw herself under Jesus' feet. Jesus didn't mind her. She said, please do this. Jesus said, oh, I can't give that which is precious that we give to children to dogs. So the lady said, oh, you are calling me a dog. No problem. But you see, when the children eat, dogs also get the surplus of the meal. And Jesus said, this is somebody who is pressing through for her miracle. So why shouldn't the kingdom of heaven be made available to her for her to receive the deliverance that her daughter is looking for? Tell me why not. Force. Claim. Cease. She needed a miracle. You see, this one was not even for her. So she could have said that. But this little girl cry, what is your problem? I didn't ask you to go and do this. You see what you have brought me into? Look at how now you're making somebody come and tell me that I is a dog. All right, if she can't, let she try there. Maybe it's not me business. She forced. And Jesus said, you may go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter permanently. Now, I don't know what kind of power is this that you don't touch. The daughter is not there. The daughter is home. The daughter is somewhere else. And the woman comes to Jesus to talk about, please do this. And Jesus said, the demon, you don't have to bring her for deliverance. You see, if you really know the Bible, you don't even have to bring your daughter. Once there is power, once the man is anointed, you don't have to bring your daughter to the church. One word, he said that the demon has left your daughter now. And the Bible said, permanently. You see, so it tells us that sometimes so how come we force and go to Brazilian church 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and still we don't get a problem solved? Something got to be wrong. Because the one who even didn't go with a daughter gets the solution. And the person who you have gone with pictures, this, your wedding band, your engagement, they should pray over it so that your husband's mind will be corrected. And it's not working. Meanwhile, the real anointing and the right power will just speak over your life. You don't have to do no magical and do no nothing, man. It's real power. But the lady had to force. Some of us is our pride. You can't take it. You can't take it. You say, you said dog. Yes, I said, I said dog. But dogs, children, you see, when children are eating, it's very easy for food to fall. It's very easy. When they eat, they are so careless in their meal. That say, it falls out. When the lady said that, Jesus said, what? There shouldn't be any resistance or impedance to this woman receiving her miracle today. I say, you must force for your miracle and your breakthrough. Let me give you one more scripture. And they will close. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. You see, by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every matter is established. So at least two scriptures must establish this thing we are talking about. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. You must force for your miracle and breakthrough. You see, there's something they say in Ghana. They say that, you see, when you see a rope, like how this fan is there, right? Or let's say the balloon. If you have scissors and you cut those, Abigail, how do you call those things you have there? Ribbons or what? You call it ribbons. What? Some people are saying something else. Okay, the rope that the balloon is on. If you have scissors and you cut those things that are holding the balloon to the beams. What is supposed to happen to the balloons? supposed to come down.
So in Ghana, where I was born, they say that if you cut something like that and it doesn't come down, then something is holding it.
You should check it. There's something holding it.
Because it can't be that these things are there. You cut it. And then, the force of gravity, you release it down. So there are certain things that are obvious. And if they are not materializing like we know it, you must force to get things done and things must happen. I tell you, some of you are going through several issues, financial crisis, this and that. You must know that there's something that you have to do, some radical things. Hey, things won't change if you don't get wild. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, a son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he heard that there's a convention coming. He said, me? Convention? He began, you see, when the guy heard of Jesus of Nazareth, because, you know, even though he was blind and all of that, people had been talking about Jesus. So, he could hear, he could know. And then he heard that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And we are going to, there's a Thanksgiving end of year convention. And you say, oh, convention? No, you won't get anything in the kingdom of God. So the Bible says that when he heard that, he began to shout, say, Jesus, Son of David, have pity and mercy on me now. You see, there was a great crowd. And many severely censured or censured and reproved him. So there's a lot of people. You know how we despise people who sometimes have, are a little different from us? So even people who can walk and do things, they are trying to, then you sitting down somewhere all the time by the roadside, you want what? So they severely censured and reproved him, telling him to keep still. But Bartimaeus said, what? This convention, not today. This praise and worship, I believe that this praise and worship is a time that I have to be free. He said, he kept on shouting out all the more. When the people said they shut up, that's when he even shouted more. Many of you, when the people say, hey, oh, when the people say anything negative, you say, all right, man, me with them people, man. Me like them people. They don't encourage. They don't encourage you all the time. You want to be down encouraged. That's why. I said you want to be down encouraged. That's why. He said he kept on shouting out all the more. You see, because if you don't exert pressure, the kingdom of God will not open up to you. Because the things in the kingdom are precious. That's why many people get things in the kingdom and they change. They become funny. They become even enemies of God. They don't come to church anymore because it's so precious that you have to. It is so difficult. It changes people. He said, you son of David, have pity and mercy on me now. Not tomorrow. He said, now. And the Bible says, then Jesus stopped. Hey, a great crowd. And I'm sure when you have great crowds, the noise is a lot. I'm sure everybody says, hey, who is he? Where is he? Hey, hi, Jesus. My name is Kechi. Jesus. Everybody wants to try and get Jesus' attention. So how much more you sitting by the roadside, you don't even know where the crowd is heading, with direction. You want Jesus' attention. But are you serious? Rest yourself. Even we can't get his attention. You? But keep quiet. But he realized that today is my day for a miracle. And the Bible said, when he started shouting even the more, Jesus stopped and said, call him. All of a sudden, the spotlight. On Bartimaeus. And they called the blind man, telling him, take courage. Now you are telling me take courage. You've been down encouraging me. Now I should take away. Which courage should I take? The one you have taken down? I should take up? Well, you've been taking my courage down? Get up. He's calling you. You see, now you vex. Now you're ashamed. Now you see, he called me. I got his attention. You see, now instead of, you see, you're now trying to behave as if you were on my side. But when I was shouting, you didn't want to allow me to shout. Yeah. I'm prospering now, so now you want to be on my side. And throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Master, let me receive my sight. It means that sight had been given, but something was preventing him from receiving his sight. I like the word he's using here. Let me receive. Because it's like, I am trying to receive, but there's something blocking the reception of my breakthrough and my miracle. Master, help me receive my sight. Let me receive my sight. I've been waiting for a long time. I've been expecting for a long time. Help me to receive. Whoever is holding on to it, please slap him for me so I can receive my sight. Tomorrow night convention, my. This is pre-convention mode, I tell you. The theme for the convention is experiences with Jesus. You don't want to miss it. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And at once, he received. He says, so all along, he had stretched his hand. God had, the thing was there. And there was something. There was something in between. He said, so he said, somebody come. Somebody should come as Jesus. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. It's like, he has been given his sight. And he's forcing. And he's forcing. He's forcing. And you basically tell Jesus to help you. Tell Jesus to help you. And he took it. He said, it's yours. Receive it now. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the name of Jesus. You receive the sight. So your miracle and your breakthrough also is like that. God, you see, God is not a wicked God. The Bible says that David said he was young and he has grown. He has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor has he begged for bread. So is it God who is wicked? No, God is not wicked, but there's some hapazo, there's some force, there's some violence that you and I are not applying when it comes into our breakthrough and our miracles. God is not a righteous to forget your labor of love. We need to apply violence. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Oh, wow. I like it. And no, Rebecca, don't take it. I don't want any butterfly, please. And at once, he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. Father, tonight, I believe you are showing us what you're going to do with us during this convention. I thank you for helping us to receive. I thank you for helping us to receive. I thank you for helping us to receive. I thank you for helping us to receive our miracle and our breakthrough tonight. Your word says permanently. Permanently. That is our situation from tonight. We have received our breakthroughs and our miracles permanently. And we thank you for that.
We worship you for that. And we say, great are you, Lord. And greatly to be praised. Father, I bless and I honor you for what you have done tonight. In Jesus' name. You are here tonight while every head is still bowed, every eye is still closed. Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. I want to go to heaven though, but I'm not sure. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And he says that if only you open your heart and invite him into your heart, he will come in and will be with you. I'll sup with you and you with him. You're here like that tonight. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Why don't you lift up your right hand wherever you are? And I'll pray with you. Pastor, please, I want to receive Jesus tonight. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven when I die. Please pray with me. If you are here like that, you just have to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Just your right hand up high. I want to pray with you. I see your hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand very, very quietly, I want to ask you to come very quietly. No clapping, nothing. Just come. The two gentlemen, come to the front. I want to pray with you. Very, very gently come. The presence of the Lord is still here tonight. Come very, very quietly. Come very, very gently. Help them to come as we pray. Yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe tonight that my sins are forgiven. I am born again now, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have saved me from my sins, and I'm now a child of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.